information about Rob. Obviously, we're all disappointed. Nobody's worked harder than Rob and been a better teammate and all that. So hopefully things will work out positively as possible with him. All the information that we gave you is really that's all we have for now. So I'm sure there'll be more coming in as we go through the next few days. So we'll just take it as it comes. So it's an unfortunate situation for him. That being said, we're turning our attention to the Rams. A big day for us today in terms of, you know, pulling a lot of things together on the Rams, team we don't know very well. Hopefully we can take today and, you know, nail down a lot of the situations, tie up some things, loose ends that we've had to deal with here during the week. And be ready to go on Sunday. So be a good test for us. Guys got a lot of good players, got a lot of talent, and they're a very, very explosive team. So we'll have to do a good job.
How fortunate do you feel to have a player like Martellus Bennett at the position to help, you know, fill the void without Rob?
I bet I have all the players we have.
You've mentioned many times that this team has gone through periods where they didn't have Rob, and it's not a completely novel concept, but when you talked about the contributions that he does make, is it a blow sometimes to the team to lose a player who's obviously of that import, both in the locker room and on the field?
Again, we appreciate all of our players.
And I wasn't insinuating that you don't. It's just
I'm just saying, like, you know, you want to rank them, and they're all important. They're all important. Rob's a great player. They're all important.
Are you happy with the depth of the tight end you have right now with Bennett and Langle, or do you think that's a position you might need to add more depth going forward?
We'll always do what we feel is best for the football team.
Someone like James Devlin, is his abilities and something he can do, is that become more important now? Or
we'll do the best we can, you know, every week. That's what we do.
What goes into the decision to make a joint statement like that about his injury?
I would say that this was the situation with the team and the player felt like it was the best thing to do.
I know to some extent the statement addressed this, but I want to give you an opportunity to clarify. There was a report yesterday that said there might have been some concern about Rob's back going into...
The statement is, I have nothing to add to that.
Gronk is a fan favorite. Anything you want to say to fans who might be disappointed or worried? He has such a big personality and everyone seems to love him. I don't know if there's anything you want to say to...
Yeah, I just said it.
Will the determination to put him on IR or not be made today after you get the results of the surgery?
I don't know.
Yeah, in the statement it says it doesn't expect him to be to play for the remainder of the 2016 season. Does that include the playoffs as well? Or
read it, Mike.
I
just read the whole thing. I mean, there's obviously more information coming. So right now, we have what we have. When more information comes, then there may be another decision to be made. I don't know.
The initial report about the surgery came out of Buffalo.
I have nothing to add. The statement, that's all we have right there.
Bill, how much more in a situation like this do you sit down with Josh and say, okay, we have to make the adjustments, you know, we have plenty of personnel, we do have options. How much more at this stage of the season, after some news like this, do you sit down with Josh?
We do it every day, we do it every week. That's what we do.
You feel confident that this is a tough injury, tough break, but you have plenty of other options to lean on, and more so that you've leaned on those options throughout the season, so it helps you in that regard?
We'll do what we do every week.
What went into the decision to make Jacoby Brissett the IR returning player?
We felt that's best for the team.
See something we could benefit from increased practice right this year, especially being a first-year player.
Of course he could. Yeah, sure he could. I don't think that's what that's for, but yeah, of course he could. Yeah, every player out there that practices benefits from him. But otherwise, there'd be no point in practicing. All the players that practice, that helps them get better. Helps everybody, no doubt.
Was the team aware of the extent of Rob's injury when Jacoby was the player?
We've talked about everything we can talk about here.
So what do you know about Matt Langel? I mean, what have you seen from him in practice, and you know, what kind of skill set does he bring that could help you going forward?
Matt's got a little bit of experience. You know, he was on the Bengals practice squad last year, so he's picked things up. Say, you know, ahead of a rookie type of player, so has some experience there. I mean, he's got some skills, and he's done a good job with what we've asked him to do. And he works hard. He's been a dependable guy.
Some tight ends tend to block better than catch better than block. Does he have one particular strength that is greater than the other?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We haven't talked about something in a game. I don't know if you could, you know, really categorize that. So we'll see.
Well, changing the subject a little bit on Deion Lewis, how much have you seen from him in his return and his ability to make people miss? Because he was talking the other day that I wouldn't be out on the field if I couldn't make people miss. Have you seen that both in practice and a couple of games he's played?
Yeah, I think Deion's gotten better progressively each practice, each week. Based on watching him practice for a couple of weeks before we activated him, we feel comfortable playing him, and that's part of his game, obviously, is his quickness, his change of direction, his acceleration. So I think all those things were evident. I think they've gotten better, but I think they were all evident when he returned to practice, you know, after the original, let's say the initial break-in period.
Well, we haven't seen Todd Gurley rip off too many long runs this year, but his rookie year, it seemed like he was, every game he had a 40-yard run. What about him makes him so dangerous when he gets to that second level, to the third level?
Yeah, everything, really. He's strong. He's got a lot of power. He's got good pad level. And he's fast. He's explosive. He runs through tackles. So, it's, you know, he can make people miss. I mean, he really can do it all. He's got power. He's got quickness. He's got vision. He can beat you in a lot of ways.
Do you have to preach to your guys that even though he hasn't done it this year?
You can see him doing it. You can see him doing plenty. I mean, you see him catching the ball, making people miss. You see him running with power. I mean, look, not every – just because a guy hits a 40-yard run doesn't mean it's a great run. A lot of times, you know, first guy who gets to him is 35 yards downfield. That doesn't make it a great run. There are a lot of 5-yard runs where there's nothing there and the back gets 5 yards. I mean, I think some of the best runs you'll see are 5-7 yard runs. Like, how does a guy get 7 yards when you look at the play and there's nobody blocked and you think he's going to lose a yard or at best get back to the line of scrimmage and, you know, he almost gets a first down. So there's great runs that are 7-yard runs, and Gurley's got a lot of, you know, a lot of great plays, special plays. Just because it's not a 50-yard run doesn't mean it's not a good run. I mean, you can see plenty of him on film, breaking tackles, making guys miss, finding yards where it doesn't really look like there are many yards there. That's what good backs do. Not just about how many yards a guy gains. I mean, that's, I don't think. You got to look at the play.
What are some of the strengths of Tremaine Johnson?
Long. It's long. Hard to throw over. He's got a big reach. And he's close to a receiver. It's hard for the receiver to catch the ball. A lot of times you see defensive backs close to a receiver, and the receiver comes up with it, and defensive back just doesn't have enough length to make the play. Tremaine's got really long arms. he's behind a lot of receivers, and he's able to reach across them, knock the ball down. Hard to throw over him. The interception he had against Arizona. Palmer just couldn't get the ball over his head. Good tackler. He has good quickness for his size. He's a bigger guy, but he actually has pretty good quickness to even handle some of the receivers that you would think, you know, they're smaller than him. Looks like they're a lot quicker than he is, but he does a good job against them. And when he gets his hands on them, then they're in trouble. So he's got a lot of talent. Good ball skills. You know, when he gets his hands on the ball, he's going to turn it over.
Aside from him, just in general, when you're constructing a secondary, you have to be able to construct it with the big guys who can cover the receivers and the smaller guys who can cover the slots and the T.Y. Hilton's of the league.
Well, I mean, that's if you move them around. If you don't move them around, then they cover who. If you play a guy at one position, if he plays on the right side or the left side, then you cover the guy that's over there, which I'd say is more the situation than not. There are some teams or some situations where you've got him, he's got the next guy, you've got somebody else, but I'd say that's by far the lower percentage of the plays, by far. Generally, you see a corner play. Again, some games are different. We'll match to this guy and somebody else matches to that guy. Teams will do that. There's some of that, but by and large, most teams play one position. Whoever's in that spot, that's who they cover.
When you do get into the matching, is that a byproduct of strictly the matchup, or does the offensive complexity and the amount that they move guys around enter into it too?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's – look, the easiest thing in the world is for one player to match another. Okay, you go cover this guy. All right, great. What do the other 10 guys do? That's the problem. It's easy to match up one guy. That's simple. Now, what do the other 10 guys do? What if he's here? What if he's there? What if he goes in motion? What if he's in the backfield? What if it's, you know, what if it's this personnel in the game? What if it's that personnel in the game? Then how does all the rest of it match up? That's where it gets tricky. You know, you could be spending all day, literally, on that. Okay, yeah, you take this guy, but you know, we can do the other 10. So, now if he's always in the same spot, then it's a lot easier to, in terms of scheme, to match up and make your adjustments and so forth. And again, there are a lot of different ways to match up. I mean, you can match up and put your best guy on their best guy, or you can match up and put your best guy on, let's call it their second best guy, and put your second best guy on their best guy and double them. So, you know, if you're going to put your best guy on their best guy and double them anyway, then you kind of lessen the matchups down the line. If you know, it's like setting a tennis ladder or whatever. You put your bad guy at one and win, you know, 2 through 7, great. You put your best guy at one and he gets beat by their one, and then you're 2 against 2, you know. So that's what you're on. You have, you know, 3 or 4-man ladder there with the receivers and your DBs. Except we don't have to match them that way. You can match them however you want, but.
So. Tennis
guy.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's, you know, how do you want to match up? You want to match one against one, or you want to match? Yeah.
Rams defensive line, quick, similar with Aaron Donald, interior wise. How do you get your guys ready for that, or is that something they really need to feel early in the game because it's hard to duplicate in practice?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to duplicate. I mean, you'd love to have 2 or 3 Aaron Donalds to put out there and be Aaron Donald, but that's not very many of those guys. But, yeah, you try to simulate it the best you can. You try to put guys out there that would do that. They have some, you know, bigger, more powerful guys, too, like Cam, like Brockers, guys like that. So they're, you know, they have some different type of players on the defensive line. Quinn, very fast off the edge. So that's another different type of player. Good. Like Donald, but different, much different than Donald. So you try to simulate that. Yeah.
What makes Alex Ogletree so effective?
He runs well. Yeah, he's got very good speed, covers sideline to sideline. He's got good range in the passing game. So he's kind of like the Pittsburgh linebackers, you know, with Shazier and Timmons and guys like that, Alonzo from Miami, guys like that that really – you know, their game is range, speed, athleticism. And he's got decent size. I'm not saying that, but I mean, there's a lot of middle linebackers that are kind of the, you know, rundown types that come out on third down that are, let's say, you know, the run game is their run defense is better than their pass defense. You know, a guy like Ogletree, he gives you a lot of value that you don't want to take him out on third down. He runs well. He's got good coverage skill. They play a lot of the two Tampa coverage where he is really the middle of the field player from the middle linebacker spot. So, you know, those things. So, those are between him and Barron. I mean, really, when they're in nickel defense or even when they're in base defense, it's not that far from dime. Like Barron's really a DB or has been a DB. Ogletree is a very athletic coverage type of linebacker that also plays Mike. So, you know, they have a lot of coverage players out there without having to actually substitute into a dime group. They predominantly play nickel, so nickel's really dime with Barron and Joyner as the two inside guys. And then Ogletree gives them another, you know, a seventh good coverage player out there, which is, you know, that's a lot, you know, put on the field. Most teams, you know, don't have that.
Bill, Malcolm Mitchell, was there a point in time this year where you saw him kind of make a mini leap? You know, I asked you earlier this week about Malcolm Brown last year. I remember you saying after the bye, he really kind of took another step. Have you seen anything similar with Mitchell this season in terms of what you've been able to maybe put on his
book? Well, Malcolm's year has been, not a straight line. So I think the spring was good. Early part of training camp was built off the spring, was very good. Then he got injured. Then he missed whatever it was, 3 or 4 weeks in there. And then there was a kind of rebuilding process of him, you know, getting back, timing, confidence. In the meantime, the offense had accelerated quite a bit from where we were in the spring and where we were in the first, call it 2 weeks of training camp to where we were by, you know, second, third, fourth regular season game. So it was some, you know, catching up to do, timing, confidence, strength, so forth. And then it's been, you know, a good progression, I'd say, from somewhere there, like around, I don't know, third, fourth week of the season, somewhere in there. He came back earlier than that, but again, I think there was kind of a catch-up period that took place to a degree.
Bill, the Vikings went into Thursday Night Football without Mike Zimmer, kind of emergency situation. Do you guys have a contingency plan in place for something like that if it ever presented itself?
Yeah, that would be go into the category of an audible.
How can you address that audible? Is it something you just do once before the season starts?
Like a lot of things we do, it's on an as-needed basis. Kind of like the 9-foot line splits. I mean, I don't think you need to talk about those every day. Still waiting to see them. Right?
You guys have spent some time in the draft or before the draft, quarterbacks who you would know, you know, first, second, top five, whatever, you log on before you get a chance to be on the clock, but you would spend some time with them anyway. Did you get the same chance with Goff?
Didn't meet with him personally, no. Watched him at Cal. Saw a lot of him actually 2 years ago. It was kind of when I started on him, watching Harper. And the other receivers, you know, that came out. I mean, they've had, you know, Cal's had a bunch of receivers and backs in the last 2 years in the draft. We probably had 5 or 6 guys, whatever it is. So I remember, you know, when Chris came here, talking to Chris about Goff, you know, kind of like what's the story on this guy. And it's pretty good. But everybody was talking about him not coming out early and whatever. But just watching him play, so this would have been in 2014, right? Yeah, the 14 season. Then I watched him more in 15 because I had seen him in 14, talked to Chris about him, you know, kind of got a feel there. Plus, I knew a couple of coaches out there at Cal, so I kind of followed up on that. And it was pretty apparent to me then that this guy was going to be, you know, this guy's an NFL quarterback. I mean, I didn't know what round it was going to be or anything else, but So that was going back to his freshman, sophomore year. So, I mean, I've seen quite a bit of him for the last 3 years. But not, I haven't had personal, a lot of personal interaction with him, no. About none.
Your final question? I know he's played the role somewhat in the past, but have you seen Logan Ryan, as he's played in the slot, as a little bit more of a regular role in the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think Logan's really really helped us playing in there. We kind of were in a little bit of a transition earlier in the year with the secondary and Logan in particular, outside, inside. I think over the last couple of weeks, he's really given us a good level of communication, of run force. He's made several tackles in the running game, plays off the edge. But again, the overall communication consistency in there has been, you know, been good. We try to build on that. So I think that's, you know, that's been a positive for us here over the last couple of weeks. Not saying it couldn't go back to a different situation, but we've kind of been, and we sort of saw this coming over the bye, you know, kind of looking ahead at the next few games and the next part of our schedule defensively, that we, you know, where we are is kind of where we wanted to be here through this period. And he's given us, I think he's really done a good job in there, you know, of playing not only the slot position, but again, the communication, the decision-making, some of the adjustments that come from that inside spot that have to relate to linebacker, sometimes the end, certainly the safeties, that there are a lot of moving parts in there that that a good experienced player at that position doesn't show up on the stat sheet, doesn't show up, you know, maybe in the, you know, necessarily on film, but in terms of the overall operation, overall communication and smoothness of the defensive play and help everybody else play better, it's definitely there. And he's done a good job of that. So he and Duran and Patrick and Devin, however that goes with those guys inside, they're all pretty experienced guys that have played together, you know, some all the way back to college, that, you know, have a lot of confidence and trust and communication with each other, with High in there, I think that's really been something that's become more of a strength for us defensively. Again, not that it shows up in the stat sheet, but in terms of just the overall defensive, you know, group, that's become a real strength for us here in the last couple weeks, and, you know, he's done a good job with it.
You have to have a conversation with the player when his role might change, but his snaps might come down a little bit.
Yeah, we always talk about that. And that's, you know, it's not an easy conversation to have because everybody wants to play more, but at the same time, everybody wants to have a good team. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to do their role. We all want it to be bigger, but sometimes we have to understand the bigger team picture, which I think, you know, our players do. That's not always – but you give that up when you play football. You know, you give up some of your individuality, give up some of your individual preferences or individual control you have to play the great team sport of football. You want to go out there and run track or swim or throw the shot put or, you know, play tennis or whatever it is, great. I mean, nothing wrong with that. And you control everything. You control how you practice. You control when you practice. You control, you know, how hard you hit the ball or how soft you hit it or whatever. Play golf. You know, then you're your own team. But, you know, when you buy into a team sport, not just defensively, but offensively in a kicking game, you know, practice for the show teams, practice for the other side of the ball, so forth and so on, then you make a commitment to the team. And that's different than playing individual sports. So, you know, I mean, all players, that's something all players have to deal with, but that's part of playing football. But I'd say Logan, to your point of Logan, I mean, he does a great job of that. Yeah, do all players want to play more? Do all players want more opportunities? Yeah, of course they do, you know. But we have to try to set up a system and a structure that we feel like gives our team the best chance to win, and I think everybody respects that. Okay. All right, thanks.